All right, we're back. This is Arab Talk on KPOO San Francisco, 89.5 FM. And as promised, we told you we're going to be speaking to a journalist and a blogger who we shall call Sidewalk. And he's going to be reporting to us live from Tehran. Now, remember, it's about 1:30 a.m. Friday morning in Tehran. And, you know, this brave person has been, you know, reporting on the situation on the ground on a daily basis, and we want to give him as much time as possible, so we will not be taking any calls from the air. However, you could send us your tweets at twitter.com/JamalDajani.
Live from Tehran, Iran, it's Sidewalk, and we want to welcome Sidewalk back to our show, because last week we got an up-to-date analysis on what's happening in Iran, and in 1 week, a lot has happened. Sidewalk, can you give us the most up-to-date status of the situation in Tehran and Iran in general right now?
Yes, sure. Let me just say hello to all your listeners and correct Jamal on a short, on a tiny thing, and that is that I'm not a blogger. This country has many bloggers. I'm not one of them. I'm just the editor of an online magazine called Tehran Avenue, and I've been sort of a journalist and an editor both for the past eight or nine years. As for the situation right now, perhaps many of your listeners know that last Saturday, I think it was the 20th, according to your calendar, there was a crackdown on dissent, basically all peaceful demonstrations that had been going on since the results of the elections were announced. I call it a coup. I don't call it an. I call it actually an election coup, because on 12th of June we held an election where four candidates, three of them opposition candidates, and the incumbent president were running in this race, and on the 13th of June, a few hours after the polls closed, after the ballot boxes had been basically carried to the counting counting place in the Ministry of Interior, the results were announced, and it was an astounding victory for the incumbent. And that basically everybody in Iran at least realized immediately that something was lost, something was not right, because the margins were simply too astounding. The victory for the Iranian incumbent president was too well-rounded.
It was 63%, reported as 63% overwhelmingly for Ahmadinejad.
Exactly.
So there were massive uprising that occurred not just in Iran and throughout, not just in Tehran, but throughout the country. The way the West has been reporting it is that Mousavi has been going somewhat underground, unable to face and speak to the public, and that the protests have somewhat diminished. What is happening as of today, Sidewalk?
The protest basically has changed nature, as it should have, simply because of the scale of the participation by Tehranis, at least. This is what I can observe, but I have heard reports of other cities, basically. And many of your listeners may know that after the announcement of the election results, massive demonstrations. I obviously don't have a way to count, but over the course of the week, millions of people. And in particular, I believe it was on the 16th of June, estimates ran as high as 3 million. And I don't think, you know, this is too radical an estimate. In any case, anywhere between 1.5 to 3 million people poured onto the streets of the capital, Tehran, and walked the same streets that had basically witnessed the revolution of 1979.
Right.
So the scale was simply astounding. And this this sort of demonstration and massive show of power by the majority of people, or at least voters in the capital, was nothing to be ignored, even though magically the state radio and television managed to ignore it completely. I mean, they failed to even report this huge turnout on the streets.
Right. Now, Sidewalk, I just want to remind our listeners, we are speaking live with Tehran. Our guest is an editor. I made a mistake and said he was a blogger. And his name is Sidewalk. We are protecting his identity. Now, a quick, you know, brief thing here. In the West, they think, I mean, many people have been reporting all the people were going out on the street. They are in support of Mousavi. But is it really about Mousavi, or is it more about just people are sick and tired of the maybe the status quo?
It's both. I think at both at the same time. I believe that people when they come in force, when a majority of individuals in a city like Tehran, for example, come to the streets, there's something that has pulled them together, and that force is quite intelligent. It's not scattered, sporadic protests there that are driven by ideological motives.
Mm-hmm.
This is an intelligent an intelligent mass that is pouring onto the streets, and they know that it's simply impossible to think of simply a system without a head, without somebody leading it. So Mousavi both represents the dreams and aspirations of the diverse dreams and aspirations of many within the Iranian grassroots, and at the same time, he's just a tool for them to change things within the country.
Is it to some extent also a reflection of the long-standing Iran democracy movement? Can you speak about that a bit and how this relates to what is happening now?
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is, with every country, I presume, you have to look at its history and
right.
The fact that for the past 100 years, the Iranians have tried to, starting with the Constitutional Revolution of 1905, where the parliament was first established. When it was first established, actually, it was bombed by the monarchists. And then, actually, the revolution succeeded the Constitutional Revolution in 1910, in 10 and 11. And ever since then, we have had this struggle with participatory forms of governance. And this is the continuation of it. The Islamic Revolution of 1979 was also a manifestation of this standing and long time dream of people to achieve a sort of self-determination and the will to govern their will according to their will.
Now, all eyes are on Iran, and of course, you know, when nothing happens there, it shifts. But for the time being, there was a decision that was made by the Supreme Leader. And decision, according to the Supreme Leader, is irreversible. Do you think this is the end of the story?
In what sense? You're asking me whether the Supreme Leader is, that's the end of his story?
No, the story is that he says that, the Iranians have voted and they elected Ahmadinejad, and we're not going to have a re-election, and the demonstrations, as far as I've been seeing, they've been dissipating at least in the past 24 hours.
Right.
So,
I don't think, of course, this is the end of the story, and I think that the Supreme Leader, by taking sides, has basically sort of chipped away at the foundation of his fatherly, patronizing position within the Iranian political hierarchy. I mean, he represented that figurehead that was always refused to take sides and was the call for unity, has now clearly and decidedly taken sides, and this, of course, is detrimental to his position as a leader who is beyond ideological positionings. And so, in a way, he has diminished his own position and the position of the velayat-e faqih, or jurist, religious jurist who is able to judge according to Islamic mandates. Many people are today on rooftops shouting slogans. At night, at about between 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. In Tehran and in many other cities, people go to their rooftops in a gesture that is also a repetition of the early revolution, an early revolution tactic, which was people went on their rooftops and shouted Allahu Akbar, showing their their protest in this way, taking God to be greater than any ruler, any sovereign. And they have been doing this consistently since the 13th of June. And sometimes, every once in a while, even though Mousavi has invited people not to appeal to violent tactics or slogans, they do let out pent-up frustrations about the ruling system by, saying down with the dictator and down with the Supreme Leader. So you hear shouts of down with the Supreme Leader as well at night. This is, of course, mostly in the northern part of Tehran, which is the middle class to middle upper class. In the south, the south side of the city, the story is quite different, both because the makeup of the city, the way it has been laid out, and is different. And in the south, where mostly middle to lower classes live, the houses are smaller. People can be identified more easily.
Yes.
Rooftops are basically at the same level, so people can be traced and detected by others. So you don't hear those cries of Allahu Akbar as much in the south.
We're listening to Sidewalk live from Tehran. He's the editor of TehranAvenue.com. I know you have to run now, so one last complicated question, which is two parts. What do you think is going to happen next, and what about the power dynamics? We've been hearing a lot that people like Rafsanjani has been going back and forth between Qom and Tehran trying to do a deal. What's going to happen next, and what's happening with the power dynamics?
This is a question that is quite interesting, not only for us living in Iran. I think for everybody who is interested in the dynamics of the between the political class, the business class, and civil society. Mm. I think much as the 1979 revolution was sort of a blueprint for a lot of other countries to follow. This is also a movement that people are waiting to see what's happening. It's impossible, of course, to predict what's going to happen, and I'm obviously in no position to do that, and I don't think anybody is, because this is a totally new situation. This is somewhere between sort of Western liberal democracy models and the fundamentalist anti-Western model. It belongs to neither camp, and it cannot be pigeonholed into any specific thing. So I believe that you know, what we have on our hands right now is a genuine nowhere land. I mean, we basically don't know where we are going. Mm-hmm. What's for sure is that we are unable to determine how this movement, how this resistance will persist. But I'm definite that it will persist in one form or another, because in the past 2 weeks, all the markers and all the signposts that we have basically appealed to and that we have had indicate that there's deep dissatisfaction on a scale that cannot be tamed or controlled that easily.
All right, you've been listening to our guest live from Tehran. We call him Sidewalk, and the website to visit for more information is tehranavenue.com. I want to thank you, and we want to wish you, of course, great luck and stay safe. We will be in touch. And again, this is Arab Talk on KPOO San Francisco 89.5 FM.